We read the scripture earlier, just a little bit ago, about the faithful steward and the unfaithful steward. Can you imagine anything more wonderful than the Lord coming up to you and saying, "You have been faithful. Enter into the joy of your master." Can you imagine anything more wonderful than that? God coming up to you saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Enter in the joy of your master." And can you imagine any statement more devastating, more painful than the other verdict? "You wicked and slothful servant." And how horrible that would be to hear such a statement. God calls every one of us to be faithful stewards. Faithful stewards. Paul was opposed to sectarianism. He didn't like the idea of favoring one pastor over another pastor, one minister over another minister, and so he wanted to be known as a steward. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 to 2 says, "Let a man so regard us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." We should follow Paul's example here and be regarded, let us all be regarded as stewards. A humble position, a modest position. But that's the position Paul took. It's a position we too should have. We too should be regarded not as masters. Brother Tony, I'm just gonna switch over. We'll get it figured out. I'm hearing feedback. Yellow. Can you hear me? Check, can you hear me? We'll switch to this mic from now. Let us so be regarded as stewards. We are to be humble. Not the masters, not the lords, but stewards. That humble position. We should follow Paul's example. And a steward must be, according to Paul, must be faithful. Faithful. How can you and I be a steward? I want to give you four foundational ideas of being a faithful steward today. Number one, a faithful steward has faith. I'm going to talk some about faith today and the idea of a faithful steward. A faithful steward has faith in God the Creator. A faithful steward has faith in God the Creator. Faith says that God is the owner of all. Faith says, "I know who owns everything. I know who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I know who owns everything in the world, and it is not me, it is God. God is the maker of all that there is, and I know it is Him that is the owner of it." That is what faith says. A lack of faith says, "No, I got to get what is mine." But faith says, "I know who made it all, and I know where it came from, and I know who owns it." Psalm 24, verse 1 says this, "The earth belongs to the Lord, and its fullness, the world, and those who dwell in it." We know who it belongs to, because it belongs to the Lord. That's what faith says. God is the ultimate owner. He is the creator of it. He sustains it. It is God who keeps the world going. Scientists to this day don't know why atoms continue to bond together. God made it that way, and He sustains it that way. God has, in other words, title ownership on the world. We are stewards of it, but God owns the title on it. He owns the deed on that property. He made it all. We don't think like this very often, do we? This is not how we normally go about our day thinking about ownership and I own my car. It's mine. I paid for it. I bought it. It is mine. I own it. When I make repairs, I pay for those repairs. I own those repairs. I paid for the work that goes into my car. I own it. I own my computers. They're my computers. Even if they were given to me, they're still mine. I own them. Or I bought them. They're my computers. I own my own clothes. You own your own clothes. They're your clothes. You bought those clothes. You picked them out off the shelf and they are yours. They're nobody else's. I don't care if there's a dozen others that look just like them. They are your clothes. You picked them out. I own my own phone. I dropped it recently and it cracked and I got to replace it, but I own this thing. I own my own phone. But church stuff, on the other hand, church stuff, I don't own that. It belongs to the church. We are stewards of that stuff. Everything that's in here, we are stewards of it. Not one person owns anything, except for that guitar, that one's mine. Not one person owns anything that's in here. We are stewards of the stuff that's in here. Stewards of the property. We too belong to God. We are His. We belong to Him. He has ownership over us. He made us. We were made in His image, the Bible tells us. He made us just to look and act as God would look. And we are made in His image. He gave us personality and character, just like God has personality and character. Our lives, our very lives, are a sacred trust from God. We are on loan to Him. He is the one that has made us, not we ourselves. God has made you. You are the steward of you. Paul reminds us that we belong to God because of redemption. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 through 20 says, "What? Do you not know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God, and that you are not your own?" You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God owns that. You are the temple. You are not your own. Because of what Jesus did for us, because He died on the cross for us, He purchased us with His blood, we belong to Him. We are His. He says, "Therefore, you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You belong to Him. You are His. You are not your own. You are the steward of that body. You are the steward of that temple that God has given you. This is a classic Christian expression of stewardship. A lot of times we point to this particular passage when we're talking about stewardship, that we belong more to God than we do to our own family. We love our family, but we belong to Him. This is His. He has purchased this. We are God's. We belong to Him. The land belongs to Him. God owns it all. God owns it all, and we owe all to His grace. We owe everything to God. We owe everything to His mercy and grace. We owe it all to Him. People sometimes jokingly, sometimes not, will say, "God gave me this land." You know, they'll make those kinds of expressions. You've heard them a lot. "God gave me that. God gave me that car. God gave me this land. God gave it to me." But there's some truth behind it in that we are shifting our perspective. We're shifting our perspective to realizing that even if we bought it, even if we put the down payment on it and are making monthly payments on it, even if we are the one that are taking care of it, God is still the owner of it all. It is a shift in our perspective when we're considering ownership and who actually owns what. People of faith acknowledge that God gives them the small portions of land. People of faith realize that God has given them all that they have. And yes, you might have worked hard for it and purchased it, but God is the owner of everything. And God owns you. They in turn work for their needs on that land and for God's glory. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 9, it reads, "Then He brought us into this place and has given us this land." God has given us this land. He's brought us into this place. That is a faith statement, friends. Faith says, "God has given it to me. No matter how much I worked for it and spent on it, God has given me this land. God has brought me into this place and has given us this land, a land." And friends, they fought for it. They worked for it. They had to fight enemies for it. Yet they are given the glory to God. God has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. The Bible shows God gives us the ability to get wealth. The Bible tells us that God has given us that ability to gain wealth, to work hard and gain monetary wealth, gain increase in our lives. And that is true, but we know the one who has really granted us the ability to get. We know that we work hard, and we know that we gain a lot, but we know who is the one actually giving. Ownership and work then are understood in terms of grace and faith. We understand those concepts. We understand ownership and this idea of grace, what God has given, and faith, that our faith and our trust, we know who owns it all, and our trust is in the Lord. God created it, and it belongs to Him. He is the owner of it. We work it for His glory. So responsibility to God includes sacred and secular. What we do for God, responsibility, what we do, what we are in charge of doing on a daily basis includes both sacred, that we worship the Lord, that we give Him praise, that we give, and that's a part of what we are to do on an everyday basis. But the part of what God expects us to do is to work. The land that He's given us, the property that He's given us, the job that He's given us, work is a part of your responsibility to the Lord. Earning a living is, according to Scripture, the same as worship when you're giving it glory to God. When you're working for His glory, when you are working in such a way that gives God glory, that is an example of who Christ is in your life, what God is doing in your life, it is the same as worship to God. You are showing others what it means to be a believer that is thankful for what God has given you. I love Thanksgiving. I do. Thanksgiving is such an awesome month. And you might be asking yourself, aren't we talking about Thanksgiving today? Why are we talking about stewardship? Guys, we are to be thankful for what God has given us, grateful for what God has given into our lives, the ability to earn it, the ability to work for it. God is the owner of all of it, and He's given us the ability to do it. We are grateful and thankful, and that alone is an act of worship. Number two, the faithful steward, so faith in God. Faith in God. We have faith in God. We know who owns it all. We know who has given us the ability to work and gain monetary increase in our lives. Faith in God. Number two, the faithful steward, and you and I are called to be faithful stewards. The faithful steward understands man's role under God. So we know God is in control. And we know man's origin is in God. God is the creator. God is the one that made everything that there is. God is the one that spoke it into existence. Before God spoke, there was nothing. But God spoke, and the world became. And the water separated from the land. God spoke it into being. It didn't crawl up out of the ooze as a couple of cells, but rather God spoke it into being, and it was. As under God, we should understand Him as a creator. We want to understand what our purpose under Him is. So many books that are written out of there about what is our purpose, the purpose-driven church, purpose-driven youth ministry, the purpose-driven life. We want to understand what our purpose under that creator is. We come to understand our faith that God made it all, but we understand our purpose under God. And that purpose begins by looking up to get our bearings. Looking to the Lord. I am not my own. My freedom that God has granted me is not a liberty to go and do what I like. It's not a liberty to live any which way that I want to live. My freedom that God has given me from sin is a freedom to do His will. God has given us free will. That free will is not a liberty to do what I like. but is the liberty to understand what God's role in my life is, to do His will, to live according to His purpose. And I am so thankful today for the freedom that God has given us in Jesus Christ. I am so thankful today that I am saved not by anything that I could do. Jesus paid my ticket. But that's not a freedom to do as I please or live in which way that I want to. We don't talk like this. This liberation from bondage is God, is to do God's will for me. We don't talk like that too often in regular day life. We don't talk very much like in terms of this kind of priority. Usually when we talk about priority, how would you prioritize? God, then family, right? You guys follow with me? What comes next? God, family, work. God, family, work. Is that your guys' priorities? God, family, work. Usually that's how people, when we talk about priorities, God, family, work, that's usually what we hear. God, family, job. And there's nothing wrong with that kind of priority. We need to prioritize like that. But it really, when we begin to prioritize like that, we feel sometimes shallow when we over-prioritize God. When we over-prioritize the church. And we start to feel kind of shallow for that. Like, you know, I've got so much else in my life that I'm responsible for. My kids and my job. And if I over-prioritize God, then we start to feel like somehow we're guilty. We're wrong for that. Somehow we're too zealous for Christ. Too zealous for God. I shouldn't be over-prioritized. But really in the Bible, it works just total opposite. God wants all. Doesn't He? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? God wants it all. He wants all of our hearts. He wants all of our souls. He wants all of our mind. He wants all of our strength. God wants it all. He owns it all. He is the owner of all of it. And we are stewards to Him, underneath Him. Imagine if the clay prioritized itself like this. For substance, then usefulness, and then shape. Imagine if a piece of clay did that. Okay, first I care about my substance, then I care about my usefulness and what I can be made into. Make sure I have the right dirt and the right water, and then am I going to be used as a cup? And lastly, I care about what I look like, my shape. Then the potter goes up to the clay and says, it doesn't matter any of that, it matters what I do with you with my hands. And the potter says that to the piece of clay. Imagine if that were you and me, and here we are prioritizing, you know, maybe job needs to take a higher priority, and maybe kids need to be higher up on the list, and the potter goes right up to you and says, oh, dear piece of clay, it doesn't matter where you put yourself on the list. And what does the Bible say? A man orders his steps, or a man determines in his heart the way that he should go, but the Lord, what? Orders his steps. A man determines in his heart. You can prioritize all day long. You could say, I could have a whole list, a mile-long list, and be like, first this, then this, then this. But God, the potter comes right up to you and says, oh, dear clay, it matters what I do with you. It matters that I own it all and that you are underneath me. Man's purpose in life is to serve God, to serve Him, to care for what He's given us, to care for the earth, to care that we have dominion over the earth. God has given us dominion over the earth, not to destroy it. Oh, a faithful steward would be frightened at the idea of us wrecking what the Master has given us, exploiting. It would be inconceivable for us to exploit and destroy what God has given us, but to take care of it. That's what we've been called to. To use it for our needs and for our good and for God's glory. We take care of it. God has given us a purpose to care for other people, to love them. God created them. So we especially care for those that God created. We have care for them. A faithful steward cannot claim to honor God if he's oppressing his neighbor. We love God by loving others. If we're taking advantage of those in our lives, we cannot claim to love them. And we dishonor God who's given them into our lives. To glorify God also means to serve Him and worship Him, to reflect His holiness back to Him. Faith in God, under God, We know our role. God, the Maker, we are grateful for everything He's given into our lives. And underneath God, we take care of what He has given us. We are stewards of what He has given us, not to do as we please, but to live according to His will. Number three, the faithful steward learns balance in life. We are looking to replace those teeter totters out there. I know Brother Robert has been having people look at them, giving them bids, and we're looking to replace that. If you guys have been out there, you know they're pretty broken up. And so we're looking to replace those teeter totters. And what a better, I don't think there's a better example when we are talking about teaching balance. I don't know if there's a better example than a teeter totter. So too in life. You get on a teeter totter, you gotta have proper balance, right? You've got, if the person on the other side's too heavy, you're just gonna sit there. And so you scoot yourself up so that you can have more of a balance. And you learn how to do that so that the teeter totter can have balance. When my children are younger, I gotta scoot myself almost to the metal bar because I'm so much heavier than, and that way they can go up and down. But you learn how to do that because you want your kid to be able to go up and down on a teeter totter. You learn how to balance. And how balance works. So too in life, we must learn to use material wealth with our understanding of God and of our understanding of self. Excess is the opposite of balance. People are masters of things. God has given us the job of having dominion over things for our good, for our benefit, and for God's glory. We are masters over all those things. But idolatry happens when stuff becomes the master of you. When stuff begins to take more priority in your life, when it becomes almost a bond, when it becomes a master of you, that is when idolatry begins to happen. In the Bible, people are forbidden to bow to idols. They're forbidden to bow to idols of wood, idols of gold, idols of metal. They are forbidden to worship money. Idolatry is strictly forbidden in Scripture, cover to cover. Old Testament to New Testament, idolatry is forbidden. We are not to make idols out of things and to worship them, to bow down to them, to be idolatrous. People always are more important than things. God loves you more than stuff. You are more important than the stuff that's in your life. God does not want you to turn that stuff into an idol. God is always more important, and people are always more important than things. It's the reason that we give to help others. We give to meet their needs so that they can know the good news that God loves them, that Jesus died for them. So people are trustees under God over nature. Servants of God and masters in nature, if you will. God has given us dominion over what He has created. We're in this, guys. We're in this in-between role. This in-between role between understanding that we are servants to God, His lordship, but then also being given and granted dominion over what God has created. We are made in His image. God has sovereignty over us, and we model that same kind of sovereignty over what God has made for us. We are the masters over that stuff, but servants to God. Co-workers with God, if you will. We work with Him. One of the greatest depths of our understanding is this realization of God's sovereignty over us, our dominion over what He has created, and that we are co-workers in that in-between role. Faith in God, under God. We learn this balance. That God made everything, but has given us charge to take care of what He has made. Number four, the faithful steward lives by faith. Are you following with me this morning? I know the turkey's in the oven, and I'm a little warm in here, at least. I've got the jacket on. So hopefully you're following with me. God made it all. Faith in God. Under God. We understand that balance of in between. Our responsibility to God, to love and to worship Him, but to take care of what He has given us, created for us. I heard it said, I don't remember who said it, I don't even remember why it's coming to my mind right now, but somebody said that the earth is not, how did he say it? That the earth was not made for man. That we need to take care of the earth. And it was this whole green, you know, this going green stuff. It was a commercial. The earth was not made for man. We need to take care of it. But that's actually not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the earth was made for man. God made the world for you. To be stewards over it. We are caretakers over what God has given. Number four, the faithful steward lives by faith. Living by faith is different than living by sight. It is different. Living by faith, living by sight, we live by what we see. We see a problem, we fix the problem. We want, if there's not a problem, there's nothing to be fixed. But living by faith looks beyond what you see. If something goes rough, you know that God is in control and God will help take care of it. People who live by sight, who don't have that trust in God, they don't understand that. They don't understand that they can look to God when the problems happen. Instead, they see the problem, they've got to fix the problem. If they can't fix the problem, they've got to find somebody who can. We live by faith. We see an unseen realm by our faith, that God exists, the angels exist, that there's a new world coming, that God is, that one day we're going to be with Jesus forever. We look by faith to that. We have a hope in that. Others who don't believe in Jesus don't have that hope. They don't see that coming. We live by faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith. And of course, Paul reminds us, this is an Old Testament scripture he reminds us of. We walk by faith. By belief in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your steps. Paul says we walk by faith, not by sight. Life faces uncertainty. We don't always know what is coming tomorrow, but we know who's there already. We don't know what's coming, but we know who's got us when it does come. We read the parable about the three servants, the three stewards. Two stewards faced it by faith. They gave what the master gave to them, and they invested in it. That's a faith step. They did something with the one steward rejected faith. We are able, as faithful stewards, we are able to face tomorrow. Because we have the strength of the religious convictions today. Because of your faith, as a faithful steward, you know that God's got you tomorrow. The unfaithful steward didn't have that conviction. Living involves taking risks. Get real practical with you for a second here. Living involves taking risks. Life is about risks. What we do, what we invest in, whether we're going to go out our front door, it's a risk. We don't know what's out there. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if going across the street, you know what's going to happen. Life is about taking risks. The unfaithful steward was condemned because he did not take the risk. He was denied the responsibility of stewardship. He blamed God, and I find that really interesting. He didn't take credit for it. He didn't say, I was wrong. Instead, he blames the master for being a hard man. He says, I knew you were a hard man, and so I buried it. And he blamed the master. He didn't take credit, he didn't take responsibility for not having the faith to take the risk. His last excuse was in Matthew 25:25, he says, so I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. I was afraid. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is the opposite. Faith, fear cringes. Fear withdraws. Fear hides. Fear doesn't like what's there, and so fear withdraws from it. It won't approach it. That's fear. The unfaithful steward said he was afraid, and so he hid it. Faith instead stands. Takes a stand. It risks with confidence. But the Bible has promises. A faithful steward, if you are a faithful steward today, we can accept those promises by faith and walk by that faith. We can have courage in the Lord. We know who holds tomorrow. We know who's right there with us. We can have that faith in God. We can be that faithful steward. The condemnation of the wicked steward is for his refusal to take the risk of faith. The risk was investment. The unfaithful steward refused to invest the talent by hiding. The stewardship is synonymous. Stewardship is often synonymous with management. God entrusts us with certain abilities, with certain capabilities, with certain talents, with certain possessions, with certain time. Now, I've done a study on this particular passage before, and it's also synonymous with talking about what we do, our responsibility to the gospel of Christ. But it's management, it's responsibility. What are you doing with what God has given you? What are you doing with your talent, with your time, with your possessions, with your money, with the message? What are you doing with all of that? What are you doing with it? The unfaithful steward rejected these simple truths. He feared, he was afraid. And he was condemned for his unbelief. The faithful steward, on the other hand, is commended for being faithful. They were faithful. Faithful stewards live by faith. Their life is determined by their convictions. They believe in God. They believe in what God's Word says. They believe in the Bible. And their life is dictated by those beliefs. We're in a marriage class right now. What are you guys studying in the quarterly class? What are you guys studying right now, Robert? Fear? Seriously? Reverence. Reverence. How apropos, that's great. That is awesome. We're studying marriage in my class. We're studying about what God's Word says about marriage. And here's the thing, guys. When you believe what God's Word says, you're going to live by it. You're going to live according to it. The faithful steward is going to take what God's Word says, and he's going to use it. I'll repeat what I said earlier. The reading of the Word is probably the most important thing we do on Sabbath. Worship is great. Singing is great. Giving of our tithes and offerings is great. But this is probably the... Turkey food is great. But this is the most important thing we do every single Sabbath. Absolutely the most important thing we do. God's Word is so important. Here's the thing. If you are a faithful steward living by faith, you're going to take what his word says and you're going to do something with it. You're going to live by it. You're going to apply it into your lives. You're going to be faithful with that. You and I today are challenged by this parable of understanding this basic truth. Human life is a sacred trust from God. God is the owner of all that there is. He is the owner of us, and life is a trust with him. We are stewards of God, servants to him. He is the owner of it. The question is whether or not we will be faithful stewards. There's no way around it, guys. We are stewards, but the question is, will you be faithful? One of the clearest insights into our faithfulness is the way we manage the material resources entrusted to us. You are asked to consider your own stewardship of material things, and guess what? Next Sabbath. So today has been more about faith. Next Sabbath we're going to talk. I'm going to bring you a message that's more in line with talking about the material things. So I'll be bringing that message next week. But this Sabbath we're talking about what it means to be a faithful steward. Ultimately, stewardship becomes the theme in understanding, accepting Jesus. God has given us this message. What are we going to do with it? Jesus has died on the cross for you. What are you going to do with it? And Sister Becky here earlier today said, you can make that decision. That's absolutely true. You do not have to wait for me to call you to the altar. You do not have to wait for me to give you the invitation to receive Jesus. When the Lord brings conviction on your heart, right then and there is the time to do something about it. Amen. That is the time to be a faithful steward of what God is giving you. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He died for you. What are you going to do with that? When you capture that reality, that is when you respond. Not necessarily when I call you to the altar. Some people need that. Some people need the call, but we need to be faithful with what God has given us. Jesus paid your ticket. That's something I've been sharing with my youngest son, helping him to understand this idea of salvation. Because it's so many get into that fear where they might lose it if they mess up just once, then they lose it all. Jesus paid your ticket. Brother, sister, Jesus paid it. He bought it for you. Your job is to receive it and then get on the train. He already did it for you. You just got to get on the train. You got to receive it. We are called to be faithful stewards. You're going to receive it or you're going to throw away that ticket. We are called to be faithful stewards with faith in God, faith under God, faith that is balanced, our understanding of our role under God, and faith that has faith in that God. A baseball player once indicated that his ambition in life was to hear his coach say, at the time of the player's retirement, "You are the best baseball player I ever coached." Can you imagine that, a baseball player wanting to hear that? "You are the best baseball player I ever coached. I never coached anybody as good as... I am so grateful that at this time in my coaching career that I coached you, because you are the best baseball player that I ever coached." Just imagine a baseball... And this actually was true, that I'm sure many of you, when you were in sports, wanted to hear your coach say, "Man, you're just... You are so awesome. I'm so glad I coached you." How much more should we Christians live our lives with joyful expectation and determination that at the end of the journey, God will say to us, "You have been faithful." Bankers must be honest. Soldiers must be brave. Watchmen must be vigilant. Runners must be swift. Weightlifters must be strong. Stewards must be faithful.